Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. I'm Violet.
And I'm Pat.
These videos are about articles that Patrick finds online. The reason we go over them is because we want to make sure that you have the best quality information. And so sometimes we see these articles, or I should say he sees these articles, and because of his reaction, he feels like, okay, this is something we should be talking about because it's really good for you to know about. Although most of the time it's because it's really something that he just wants to make sure that you're not going to be led in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what we have today, so I'm going to turn it over to Patrick.
This week we talk about snacks. So it's an article that, like, I'm sure, like, piqued my interest about snacking. The title was like, the title is, I lost 15 pounds, and these are the low carb snacks I reach for when I'm hungry. So
I lost 15 pounds.
Yeah, I lost 15 pounds.
And these are the low carb snacks. So does that mean the person's actually doing low carb?
Probably low carb. Okay. Like, she's not, I say she because I think she's an author. There's no mention she's doing keto. There's some interesting ideas. Like the first one, I probably feel that if she had another lifestyle, she probably would have lost 30 pounds instead of 15. But like, but that's why we want to comment on maybe what she's doing, be what's right, what's wrong. And after we'll go through the list of snacks that she
So I guess if I'm understanding this article well, because the person's not talking about their diet, they're just talking about the snacks they ate that allowed them to lose 15 pounds. So I guess the positive here is kind of pointing out that probably it's our snacking that keeps us heavy. That's a very interesting way that we could turn that information, right?
Yeah, I have a few little paragraphs to cover before we get to our list of snacks that she recommends that are low carb. Well, she starts saying that she always has snacks on her. Okay, the first thing
she starts by saying, I always have snacks on me.
Yeah,
like she walks around with snacks.
But like, I'm like a soccer mom. I always have snacks on me. That's the first thing she said.
Okay, and so right away. Like, who walks around with snacks?
Okay.
I don't know. It's a serious question. Do you walk around with snacks?
Not really.
Okay. So, I think right away that sentence.
Yeah, that's the first thing. But
I'm waiting.
I didn't think that would be my first sentence, too. But, like, the first one that caught my attention is, like, for sure, like, a lot of people do that. But and as much as I like sticking to three solid meals a day.
Okay.
So already, like, we kind of have a hint she's not keto, but, like, she does, like, eat carb. I still sometimes get hunger pangs during those awkward times during a long day. So already we can see some emotional eating happening there in our article.
I don't know if it's emotional eating or if it's just the carbs are pushing her to eat, but I think the thing that I find interesting, she has long days. So that tells me also that her meals are not necessarily scheduled well.
Maybe.
So we do know that can cause extra hunger because, like, you know, eating at certain times is healthy for the body, but okay.
Yeah. I've lost 15 pounds since January, and keeping my body fueled without depriving myself has been a major secret to my success.
Since January.
I assume it's like,
March, April, May. Hey, that's not bad. That's 15 pounds in 7 months. Hey, that's not bad.
Three meals a day, so she probably cut out a bunch of stuff.
Okay, I'm curious to know what she's been eating.
Okay, the other thing, like, you want to clarify, and even me, I don't know. I've heard the term before. Like, she goes on with, since I have PCOS. What's PCOS?
Oh, it's a condition, polycystic ovarian
syndrome. Okay.
And right away, then we know that she's not doing low carb. Because PCOS is caused by excessive carbs.
Okay.
But maybe basically, it's like polycystic ovarian. So, like, your ovaries have cysts.
Okay.
And it's a lot of women who have this condition are unable to have children.
Okay.
Like, it's that serious of a condition. Okay. So,
So she goes, since I have PCOS and should stick to a pretty low carb diet to keep my blood sugar stable. So I have a feeling she's not keto really, because like the we'll see with the snacks she does like use in the article. But like, she keeps like her carbs. I think she's doing more low carb. All these selection have 30 grams of net carbs or less or fewer. Like, yeah. More or less. So already, I'm going to point out, 13 grams is like more than half of what you should eat if you are on a keto lifestyle.
No, but for sure, like, she's not on a keto lifestyle. So but I guess the interesting thing here is that it seems to me the thing that... So listening to the bits and pieces that you're reading out loud, the thing that stands out to me is that her doctor has already told her to keep her carbohydrate... Or her sugar. She said sugar.
The blood sugar. Blood sugar. The blood sugar is stable.
Okay, so... She's already aware that she should keep her sugar, carbs, low to keep her blood sugar stable. So now I'm waiting to hear what her definition of low is.
Okay, well, she doesn't have a definition of low.
Well, we're going to know by the snacks that she chooses, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. But before I want to go there, I wanted like a little open discussion about snacking. Like, is it something you do, I do? What do you consider snacking on the keto lifestyle?
Okay,
and
so
should we avoid it? Like, or
on any lifestyle, snacking is eating between your major meals. So anything you eat between meals is a snack.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what kind of regimen you're doing. Snacking is not advised. Why? Every time you eat, so unless you're having water, anything else that you put in your mouth is going to raise your insulin. So that's carbs, fats, or proteins. Doesn't matter which one. Fats will only raise it by like a 2 on 10 compared to like carbs being a 10 on 10. But it still raises it. Mm-hmm. So any snack that you're going to eat causes your insulin to go up, which we know, especially if you have PCOS, you wouldn't want to be doing.
Mm.
So that's, sorry. But now just take this another step.
Yeah.
If I'm eating between meals, the thing that we need to keep in mind, so every time I eat, my insulin goes up. And if I eat 3 meals a day, even though it's only 3 meals a day, the chance that my resting, my lowest point, like I say, first thing in the morning, I've been fasting all night where my insulin is, my spike that's going to happen, will I get back down to that point before the next meal? Chances are no. But what happens? It's kind of additive. So like, let's say I go, just for number's sake, from 0 to 7, and then I'm starting my way back down, but then I eat again, and maybe I was at 4, so now I'm at 13, and then I'm on my way back down, and then I eat again, and then I'm at 9, and then, right? So, like, every time we eat, if there's not adequate time to get back down to 0, I mean, you know, again, pretend numbers, then you're having extra insulin in your body longer than it needs to be. So, no snacking.
So even though like some nutritionists like me know that they recommend like a bunch of smaller meals, like 6-7 meals per day, that's not a good idea at all. You probably would rather have like bigger meals, but if you need to stick to 3 meals, then like make sure you have 3 appropriate meals and no snacking in between.
I think we're going to make nutritionists like a curse word going forward. Like, we're just not allowed to say that word anymore.
No, but it's not a good idea to
but you don't want to eat multiple times a day, because first of all, it's unnecessary, but second of all, it's unhealthy. So the fewer meals you have, the healthier you are. And that's just going, now we're talking about, you know, there's so many doctors and researchers right now who are showing that when they induce a little bit of lack of food. So when we take animals and we let them have longer periods between their meals, they live longer, some up to 20%. Like, you know, there's they were saying that we ideally would aim at 20% fasting. If you would fast one 24-hour period a week, every single week of the year, I think you come to like something like 16-17% of your time fasting. So, and you're aiming at 20%. So if you did like once a week for every day of the year, every week of the year, and then you had like a few longer fasts in that period of time, maybe if you did 2 1-week periods, let's say, or maybe 3, you would have your 20%. Okay. And that adds longevity to your life.
Okay.
And this is what they're thinking. Right, just going from the studies they've done and what they've seen in animal studies and et cetera.
Let's do a little parenthesis on intermittent fasting. Then, we know the absolute best is 1 meal per day. You eat your meal and you fast for 23 and a half hours, let's say.
Hours, yeah.
But what would be like, you still can get benefits if you have a little bit of a longer feeding period, let's say over maybe 4 hours, 8-4-20, would that be good? Or because I know people, like some people do 8-16 and cram two meals in that. But like,
the thing is that we have to keep in mind is that, so the moment I stop eating is not when my fast starts, because the food is still traveling through, right? So like, there's that process that takes, I think, I try to remember how many, it's been a long time since I've read this. I think it's, how much?
Four?
I think it's 4 hours, something like that. Yeah, so there's that period of time that takes for the food to pass through you. And in that period of time, you're not actually fasting because your body is processing food. So This is where like doing the one meal a day comes in really handy, because it gives you the four hours, and then you have a nice, like, what does it end up being, like 19 hours of fasting or something like this, or 18 hours of fasting, whatever it turns out to be. So now some fasting is better than none, right? Yeah. So if you're doing a 24, or if you're doing a 6-18, or like whatever you're doing, like it's, some is better than none. So do what you're doing. But we can supplement with doing a 24-hour fast every once a week, or or every other week, or whatever you can manage. Like, again, the more you do, the better for you. And you can also supplement with doing, some people do like a week or 2 weeks, but that larger intervals. Maybe you have to play with it and see what you're comfortable doing, right? Like myself, I was doing very religiously once a week. Lately, it's been like once every other week, but I want to get back to my once a week, actually. So once a week. And then what I was also doing is like, about every 6 months I do a week fast.
It's not you were doing, like you're still doing it.
Every six month thing is still happening. So, it's the once every week that I had stopped for a little while. I was doing like every other week, but now I'm going back to doing that.
Okay. Just because I think what about that coffee in the morning, like breaking the fast or not breaking the fast? What's your thought on
that? So if you're having a coffee with any kind of energy in it, then it's strictly speaking not a fast. Mm-hmm. So it depends on why you're fasting. So if you're fasting for allowing your body to repair, then a little bit of, this is again, what's being said is that a little bit of energy in your coffee is at the end of the day. So it's not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. But if you're fasting, strictly speaking though, you are breaking your fast. Okay.
But you still don't raise your insulin as much with like...
Because you still are raising your insulin, because you got that. If there's fat in the coffee, you've got that too, right? So it's going to happen. You will still have the benefits of some of the fasting. So some of the autophagy and some of the, I can't remember the other word, apoptosis and all those other processes that happen. Because the length of time it takes your body to metabolize oil is not as long as food.
Okay. Well, since we should not snack, should we go through the rest of the article? Yeah, we'll go through it anyway. Okay, let's see what does she use for snack? Because some of the snacks she recommends are better than others, so we can give you like.
So we're gonna go through each of the snacks.
Yeah, okay. She has like four or five.
Okay.
The first one I think is good. Blue Diamond Bold Habanero Barbecue Almonds. So flavored, spiced. To me, they seem coated a little bit. So be careful with that. Like, why not just go for regular almonds, like salted almonds, instead of like the processed like stuff they're gonna put on it.
So just the name that you said gave me the impression. Yeah, because barbecue sauce usually has some kind of sugar in it.
Let me see if I can.
Unfortunately. That would mean that there's probably extra sugars on there.
But you can nutrition information.
You can usually check the nutrition information, and so you can have regular salted almonds and then check any flavored stuff and see what you see. So what do you see there?
I see like five total carbs, 3 fiber, so 2 net carbs.
Okay, so maybe what they're putting on is just a spice, and it's not. I mean, five. I mean, I'm trying to think for a regular type of almond, how much would it have been? I don't know, but.
Okay. The next one, I do like beef jerky sticks. So beef jerkies.
Okay. The only thing I would say about those is you do have to still check that there's not extra carbs added. Some companies add carbs to make it taste good.
Oh, yeah. Total carbs, 1 gram. So there's no... Hey, like, good. It's not like...
And that was the actual brand she said?
The Country Archer Jalapeno Beef Jerky Stick. So everything is available. Like in her article is available on Amazon, so we can go check it.
Okay, so it was the same one.
Country Archer Jalapeno Beef Jerky.
Okay, steaks, so again, another good one. And we've gotten two that were really good in the carb count.
Because the beef jerky that I usually like check at Costco and always keep putting it back on the shelf is like the regular beef and pork jerkies, and they have like 7-8 grams of sugar because of like the seasoning and stuff. The one I don't like. one protein bar, like in birthday cake flavor. So
one protein
bar. Yeah, like the brand is one. So like it's a like every protein bars, like even though it seems like they put like emphasis on proteins, like just check the sugar content, because even like at Costco, I'm always checking and put them back because they have 6, 7, 8 grams of.
I actually have a comment on this one.
Let's go see that one. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my comment. yes, I'm going to guess that the sugar content is going to be high on that. But the problem that I have is more the protein.
Okay.
Well, okay, how much is the sugar content?
So 22 total carbs, but 9 fibers. So that's like, my math is good, 12, 13, okay. 13 net carbs. 13 net more carb. Than half your...
But you know what my problem is with that? On top of that 13, we have processed protein. Food,
yeah.
What do we know about anything that you process? It's easier to absorb by the body. So that we will end up over... How much protein does it say is in that?
Oh, let me check. Let me go check so, if I can go back to that. How much proteins? Okay, 7 fat and 20 grams.
A protein?
A protein.
So yeah. Think about that. That this one little teeny tiny bar is giving her 20 grams of protein.
Mm. Yeah.
So the problem there is that, first of all, it's a lot of protein in a small package that's very processed. It's going to be absorbed very quickly. Mm. Protein gives us about a rise in insulin, but that's about a five to seven, depending on where it's coming from.
Okay.
So I'm going to also guess at that. So it's very likely a whey protein, but I don't know. Then, yeah. You didn't tell me which kind of protein it was, but it's probably a whey protein.
Well, we can probably go.
So like it's not the best protein. So again, you have
protein
to...
blend whey. Yeah. Whey protein isolate, milk protein isolate, like yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And a bunch of, honestly, if you can and read the ingredients, like there's a bunch of stuff I can even like read pronounce? You guys pronounce. Okay. Don't even go there. Like,
so this is the problem that I have with snacking on bars is that the protein is processed, it's going to be very quickly absorbed, it's 20 grams that's happening at a period of time in the day that you probably very, like, again, every doctor that you talk to says that when something is so super processed, it's going to be absorbed quickly, it's going to be transformed into fat.
Mm.
So we just want to be careful with that, you know, and also the fact that there were so many ingredients that Patrick can't pronounce, which just basically tells you that it's not healthy.
Another one that's I feel like it's a repetition of the previous one. It's another Blue Diamond bold salt and vinegar almond. So another like flavored artificially.
Flavored nuts.
And then we see on the package artificially flavored. So already like I'm a little bit off that
okay,
thing
too.
Okay, so
here's my question. It's salt and vinegar. Why did they need to artificially flavor it? Salt and vinegar.
Yeah, let's go see the ingredients. Just for fun, the fun of it. Okay, so okay. First, the macros. Okay, now five total minus 3 fibers. So and what do we have? Almonds, vegetable oil, canola, safflower, and or sunflower. Already we're not sure about that. Salt, sodium, D-acetate, dextrose, lactose, and malic acid.
Dextrose is sugar.
Yeah.
Malic acid. Okay. What was the other one?
So I'm kind of surprised with the macros, because like, these are the macros you would get on regular unflavored almonds, like 5 minus 3. So, we have lactose and malic acid. Malic acid, yeah.
Sorry, dextrose,
sodium,
lactose,
diacetate, dextrose, lactose, and malic acid. So, yeah, there's like some chemicals in there that, why not just go with the raw almonds or the salted almonds?
It's a question.
Or even, yeah.
That's a question. Like, I, you know what? It's not the worst thing that so like the birthday cake protein bar to me is worse than that. So, you know, if you have to pick your poisons, but I'm just wondering why did they need to artificially flavor salt and vinegar? Those are two easiest. So I a question mark.
Yeah. Cheaper probably to put the crappy stuff. Okay. We talked about that before, the pork rinds. So like she has in her it's like the pork rinds are good. Like and they're zero carbs. Basically it's pork fat like.
It can be. Is it flavored?
Barbecue seasoning. Let's go see. Because I do like the regular, like, unflavored pork rinds, especially, like, with you can use as to dip, like, in your guacamole for your avocado. That's, like, kind of good. Oh, I don't have, no. So be careful. Watch the nutrition information, the ingredients. Check if there's something you cannot pronounce.
But you see, this is the thing, is that if you're going to buy pork rinds, which is a healthier snack, but then if it's flavored, you just have to be careful to check the ingredients to see what they're using as flavorings. And again, like we were looking at the nuts, and it had dextrose. That's a sugar. So like sometimes they will use these other words that are sugar to kind of trick you into thinking that there's no sugar added. I'm always surprised when I see in the ingredients multiple different sugars, but yet in the nutritional information, they're still giving a really good number. It makes me pause. We know that food companies lie on their labels. So I'm just saying that out loud.
Next one is, again, like, well, it's an almond butter pack. So almond Justin's, butter. But Justin's cinnamon almond butter pack. Why the cinnamon in an almond butter? And what you do,
you just cinnamon, squeeze
it in your mouth. Like,
if it's just cinnamon, it shouldn't add much, but I doubt it's just cinnamon. You want to see the ingredients on that?
Okay, so we have...
nut butters are... if you're going to buy nut butters, buying them in the little packs is the best way to do it. Because you're scaring me. Let me finish saying what I'm saying before you say what you're going to say. The reason I say if you're going to buy nut butters, buy them in the little packs is because it's already pre-portioned for you. The chance that you're going to... just have the one, at least you get a serving. I know for myself, because my daughter loves peanut butter, and when she goes for the spoon, when I go back to make her a sandwich later, half the container is gone. So, you know, I prefer when she actually makes a sandwich. Because it's really hard to put 20 tablespoons on a sandwich.
Although when I make her sandwich, I do put my yam. And that's another story. So nutrition fact. Okay, a little pouch, 32 grams, 200
calories.
Yeah. Okay, so we have total carbs, 8 grams.
8, okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about the almond butter.
But okay, it's how much you said? 32
grams. We have 8 grams of carbs, 2 grams of fibers, total sugars, 4 grams, including 3 grams of added sugars. At least they mentioned it on the package.
Including 3 grams of added sugars. Ingredients?
So ingredients, dry roasted almonds. Organic, that's why I like kind of like organic powdered sugar. So made of organic cane sugar, organic tapioca starch. So why is it meant to make it taste good?
Palm oil?
The organic cinnamon. Now, here's the cinnamon. So it's just the sugar. They added that to me. They could have skipped it and probably just add, although almond butter is a little bit bitter, not really. I used to eat almond butter before. So yeah, the 3 grams of added sugars, it's organic cane sugar and organic tapioca starch.
So, and we do, again, in the nut butter, any kind of nut butter situation, you're in that situation where processed, so we take in what would have been 30, 40, 50 nuts, and put them into 32 grams.
Yeah.
Right? How long would it have taken you to do this, right, and eat that, versus how long would it take you to do that? So I would really encourage you to eat the nuts in that case. Yeah. It would take you longer and be more satisfying. But if you're going to do that, at least they're in packages.
Mm-hmm.
You know you've just had X amount, and that's it, that's all. Like, what was it, 4 net carb? You know what you have, it's done. And if that satisfies you, great.
It's the snacks I had. Like, I may add like cheese. Like, having, if you really, really feel the need to snack, you can have a little piece of cheese.
You really, really, really shouldn't feel the need to snack, though. But you know what? This person is not doing keto.
Yeah.
So, considering that she's not doing keto, and yes, it is a she because she has PCOS. So, considering that she's not doing keto, she's keeping her carbs in a low carb story.
What?
And that's good. I think probably she would do even better if she could help herself to do no snacks. But that would mean really paying attention to the carbs she's eating during her meal. This is the thing that I'm going to throw out there. The way that she's doing those snacks, my guess is that she might still be eating carbs in her meals, just from looking at what she chose as snacks.
I have a colleague, another example of a relatively low-carb snack. I have a colleague that he doesn't really have breakfast, but I can see him eat like a little cup of something like around 10 in the morning.
Cup of something,
like just berries. So usually he has blackberries, raspberries, and two squares of dark chocolate, like 80%, or so even like he does like the higher percentage. So that's like, I do consider it a snack because it's a really like small serving, so it's definitely not a meal. So I'm not sure if he had breakfast before, and he's in between breakfast and lunch snack.
I think the thing that I would say there, so whether if I skip breakfast, but that's the first thing I have, or if I would have had a bowl of cereal, I don't see the difference because I'm starting my day with sugar. No matter what you look at there, you're starting. Like, I really would encourage people, as much as you can, start your day with protein and fat rather than starting your day with sugar. At least that first rise in your insulin is not going to be the highest possible rise that it could be, right? So anything you can do to keep your insulin at a lower level throughout the course of your day, right?
Hard-boiled eggs
any kind of eggs would be a better option. And I think I also feel like if people understood that carbs, eating carbs pushes eating carbs, then you would understand why you snack. Because as Patrick and I have both said on different occasions, we no longer feel the need to eat between meals because we don't feel it. So even when we're talking about, like when Patrick's talking about eating yogurt or when I'm talking about eating nuts, it's at the end of our meal. Yeah. It's like we're not finished eating yet. Like, it's not that we have finished eating and then we turn around and hours later, or, you know what I mean? Like, so it's also that. I
have to say, my yogurt, I'm going to have it like maybe 2 hours after the end of my meal. So I could probably consider it a snack.
Okay.
But like,
usually for me, it's closer to the meal than that. So it's usually right on the heels of the meal. But again, the thing is that that's what you should be aiming at. So, that's what you should be aiming at. It's like having it at the end of the meal. Because when you have it at the end of the meal, you're already spiking your insulin. You're already eating.
Yeah.
Right? So in terms of longevity, thinking about where your insulin's at. You know, I recently saw a video by Dr. Inbar Kirsten, and she was doing a really lovely video on Adapt Your Life, the channel Adapt Your Life. Actually, you guys should all watch it. It's a 2-part video series. It's really good. Maybe I'll try to link that if I remember to. But the reason I'm bringing it up is she said something that was so smart and yet so obvious, and it's just like, duh. She said, the medical profession has been based on putting a Band-Aid on your problems. And she said all the medications that they give you for heart disease and all the medications, even you were talking about gout the other day and how you could take these and all of these things. And she said, what we really should be doing is starting with what's the initial problem. We know it's carbohydrates. Rather than push people to take these pills, take the carbohydrates out of the diet.
People love carbohydrates. That's a problem. People want to have their carbohydrates.
But the question is, do you want to have heart disease?
Mm.
Do you want to have diabetes? You know what? And I've said this a million times. It's not about doing what's convenient. It's about doing what's better for you.
Yeah.
Rather than eating the wrong thing and then putting a Band-Aid on it, learn to eat the right thing. So, you know, I applaud this lady because at least she's looking at her food.
Yeah.
She's at least looking and saying, how does eating like this affect me? I feel like if she keeps doing this, she'll probably even go further, right? Because the more you learn about yourself, the more you see yourself succeed, the more you want to succeed. That's another cool thing is as humans, when we start winning, we want to win more and more and more. And I know, I mean, I lived it myself, right? Healed my hip. Healed my knees, healed my elbow, healed my back, right? And I'm still going. Why? Because it feels good.
Hmm.
It feels good to win and feel better at the same time, right? And the final plus is the one I don't hardly ever talk about. I lost weight.
Hmm.
It's hardly the... Think about it. I hardly talk about that one. The weight loss wasn't the thing. It was how good do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I applaud her because I feel like she probably will end up eventually doing even better for herself. But I'm just reminding everyone, don't put a Band-Aid. Don't put a Band-Aid. We know what's causing this, right? A treat should be a treat once in a while, right? When you're fueling your body, you should be eating good quality foods.
Mm.
And, you know, some of those snacks were not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you've made it this far into the video, then it tells me that you really appreciate the information that Patrick and I put out. Mm-hmm. So I would like to let you know that I created a Patreon so that those of you who would like to contribute to the making of some of these videos have the opportunity. You just need to go to Patreon.com/Violet Rivera and you'll find all the information there. If you'd like to help us, that'd be great. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Patch Hat Edition. Mm-hmm. I know you're about to tell me that people need to subscribe. So all my wellness warriors out there, I love that you're subscribed. Click the bell if you haven't. For everyone else who isn't already subscribed, subscribe, ring the bell, you know, so you know when my videos are coming out, when you know when our videos are coming out. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. We really appreciate you guys coming by. Talk to you next time. Are you not going to say bye?
Bye.